Target, sponsored by Shillega Garden Centre in Glan and Plan-les-Ouates.
It is time for Dig It, and Hester McDonald is here in the studio to talk to us about pot plants. Happy New Year, first show of 2023.
Happy New Year!
We're talking pot plants. And why did we choose pot plants today for the January show, Hester?
It's the time of year where people are indoors a lot and they're looking at their plants. And it's a really challenging time of year for houseplants. Really, really challenging time of year. It's hard for them.
This one, not just really a show just about houseplants, but we're going to call this Houseplant Hospital.
We are.
Because quite a lot of the time, those pot plants don't do as well as we think that they should do.
Yeah, and I don't think it's a question of reframing either. Actually, it's not a question of thinking, well, you know, it could be better. No, you probably need to do something about it.
So we usually get a question every single episode where someone sends in a photo and says, is this plant dead? So I'm looking forward, I'm hoping that we get a couple of those today, because I feel like pot plants are the easiest to just whip out the camera phone, take a picture of this and say, is this dead yet? If you have those pot plants that you would like to ask Hester, is this dead? Is this a goner? Is this too far and beyond salvation? You can send in those photos now, studio@worldradio.ch. We've got Hester in the studio for just 1 hour, so send them in as quickly as you can. What are the most common problems, though, with house plants, Hester?
So I'd say the one I see the most is wilted leaves.
What causes those wilted leaves?
So weirdly and kind of annoyingly, it can be overwatering or underwatering.
How do we tell?
Well, it's a tricky one. So I'd say, first of all, pick up the pot, particularly if it's a plastic pot, and see if it feels heavy, because that's an indication as to whether it's wet or not. And then literally stick your finger into the soil. And if your finger comes out grubby-ish and covered with bits of soil or a bit wet, then it's probably wet enough. If you can't get your finger in because the top soil crust is so heavily encrusted and solid, or the plant feels weirdly light, it's probably underwatered. So if the answer to those is yes, it's quite wet, it's probably overwatering. So I'd say then take the plant out of its pot if you can. And I fully understand that sometimes the plant is just way too big to be manipulated. If you can slide out, have a look at its roots. So roots are generally sort of cream, white, a palish colour. They smell good, like they don't smell rotten. Those are all good signs. If they're brown, black or mushy, that is a very, very bad sign.
Because it's got some kind of bacteria or bug?
It's rotting.
It's
rotting. And what's happened is that the plant is drowning and it can't breathe.
Is there any salvation for that plant at this point?
You could do some radical root pruning. It does work. I've done it. So just clean scissors and cut back to beyond where it's mushy. You might need to be quite vicious. And rinse off all of the rest of the soil off the root ball and have a really good look. Repot it in some maybe better draining material. Or it might be the fault of the pot. Maybe the pot doesn't drain.
And then if you've done that, if you've really cut back the root on a pot plant, do you then need to trim? Because as I understand it, the plant is all in balance with what's on above the soil to under the soil.
You may decide either you need to give the top section a prune as well, a gentle prune as well, or just really, really bump up the watering and feeding regime, because it's going to be really struggling to maintain that volume of leaves with that little volume of roots. The roots will grow back quickly, particularly if you help it.
The irony of now needing to bump up the feeding and watering regime after you've essentially drowned your plant.
Yeah, exactly. Certainly with a better drained medium, a better drained soil medium. So one of the things I often see is people say, oh, well, you know, I got it in this particular compost. I just had some compost in the garden. I used that. I'd say if you spent money on a nice houseplant, get the compost that matches it. Buy actual houseplant compost, which tends to be more free draining than compost you use in the vegetable garden or something like that.
What about how sensitive plants are if you're moving them around a room or from one room to another? If you have a struggling plant, is now the moment to then move it, or would that be the worst thing to do?
Well, it's probably trying to tell you something. So they really don't like, most plants don't like cold drafts at all. So if the front door's been open and shut and open and shut and open and shut, and cold air's kept coming in.
Oh, not a fan.
Not happy. They really don't like a lot of heat either, the majority of them. So central heating, a hot radiator, open fires, log burners, anything like that. They really don't like it. And so it may be saying, help. And given that it hasn't got feet and can't walk away, you need to be the person that has feet and walk away.
Ah.
So it's trying to tell you something. And often floppy, dropped leaves, yellowing leaves, worse, brown leaves. That's not a great sign.
Not a good sign.
That's not a good sign either. No. And so if it looks like that, it's probably because it's suffering effectively from drought. It looks like it's been underwatered. So I would suggest, particularly if when you pick up the poor thing's very light as well, stick it in the sink with a load of water for a good half an hour. And that will really help. You'll see it perk up really quickly.
Nice. So essentially, we're messing up with the water somehow, either too much or too little. But there are other issues that it could be. It could be bacterial, fungal problems, could be pests. We'll come on to that in just a little bit.
Dig It, sponsored by Shillinger Garden Centre in Glan and Plan-les-Ouates.
It is indeed Dig It. We are looking at houseplants today, Houseplant Hospital, as we are calling it. And in fact, we've got a competition courtesy of Shillinger Garden Centre. Thank you so much to them, who will be offering a 50 franc voucher for a pot plant of your choice. Ooh. Hester, if you were going to go and spend that today, what would you think that you would buy for 50 francs at Shillinger Garden Centre for a houseplant? What would be the houseplant?
Oh,
I mean, everyone's got a list.
Orchid at this time of year.
Orchid?
Orchid, yeah, definitely. I'd get an orchid. And I love Phalaenopsis and moth orchids, but I might treat myself to another dendrobium. And I could probably get two for 50 francs.
I don't know the difference between all of these ones, to be very honest. Anyway, I'm going to ask you that very simple question today. If you were going to get another a house plant today, which one would it be? What are you entering for? What would you like to go and pick up from Shillinger Garden Centre? What pot plant would you like to take home? Do you have a little list of the next pot plants that you would quite like? I wanted a Monstera for ages. I'm really pleased with myself because I just finally treated myself to a Monstera last year.
Oh, I love Monsteras.
Wanted one for a long time. And also, lots of people I know have them and I was kind of waiting for one to be propagated, you know, to propagate nicely. But it just never ended up happening. So in the end, I just treated myself. And now I'm waiting for mine to be big enough and enthusiastically growing enough to actually then be able to propagate more.
That's nice.
Love them. Yeah. Anyway, let us know. What would you like to have as a new pot plant? 939 on the text. Start your message off with WRS or email studio@worldradio.ch. And you never know, you might just be going along to Shillinger Garden Centre and picking one up because we've got that exact gift to give away. So it's funny that you should mention orchids. Can I just ask you a question that we've just received from Erica?
Okay, I'll do my best. I'm not an orchid expert and they can be a little bit tricky sometimes.
Well, she's got a question about her purple vanda.
Love vandas.
And we've got a rather nice picture of it. It's bloomed twice this year in the space of 2 months.
You are doing very well, Erica. Bravo.
So now she says, I've got 3 keikis with a K growing and no leaves from the crown. Will new leaves ever appear?
They will.
Or do I have to wait for the keikis to mature? What's a keiki? First question.
A baby one. Some plants can reproduce asexually. And orchids are one of them. And they just make little plantlets on themselves. They're clones of the parent plant.
So it's like a baby plant, like a succulent almost.
Yeah, exactly. Aloes do it all the time. Yeah, exactly. And it's made a new one. It means a little one in Hawaiian. Isn't that nice?
Oh, that's rather
little
nice.
One. So wait for them to get a little bit bigger.
Yep.
Your babies, and then you can separate them off from the parent plant, and your plant will recover. It's probably also a bit low light at the moment. It's not likely to be putting on loads of growth.
So when Erica says, "Do I have to wait for the keikis to mature a bit?" The answer is yes.
Yeah, they need to be a wee bit bigger. But wow, can't believe you got keikis. I've never had one.
All right, you're doing
a much better job than me with my orchids.
We have looked this morning so far at different problems that are caused by water with various different houseplants, not necessarily just orchids. We've looked at water, we've looked at light, we've looked at heat. What other issues might your pot plant be having if it's suffering?
Pests. See, it's very frustrating. You can be doing all of the right things with your plant and then suddenly it starts to fail a bit and you think, what should I do? What should I do? Well, you didn't do anything. A wicked little pest is what's doing it.
What are the most common ones?
Well, aphids come up a lot, but they're really, really easy to treat. Just some soapy water sprayed onto the leaves, and you can just wipe them off. You just need to be a bit consistent. You need to do it every 3 days for a couple of weeks, and you should pretty much sort them out. Or you just wait till the spring comes round and the weather's warmer, and you can put them outside, get yourself some ladybirds. Ladybirds eat the aphids, problem gone. It's when they're indoors and things can really multiply quite rapidly if the conditions are right for them. I get quite a lot of questions about gnats, soil gnats, like little black flies hovering around the soil, surface of the soil. They're eating decaying fungal matter, they're decaying biological matter, like bits of leaf and stuff in the soil. They probably won't harm your plant. And they'll just sort themselves out. And it's a problem you really only get in the winter because they're indoors. One of the big ones are red spider mites. They're really annoying. So you won't see anything until you see this kind of weird freckling on the leaf. And it's because they've sucked the sap or damaged the plant cells. Just little teeny tiny spaces. And you won't see them because they're on the underside of the leaf. So flip the leaf over and you'll probably see the webbing. The mites are so little, little, little. With a hand lens, you might see them, or your phone on like super, 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 super zoom. And I would say, I mean, the easiest way is probably with horticultural soap. You can also put them in the shower and give them a bit of a wash. Give the whole plant a bit of a wash.
Well, you might as well at this point. You might blast them.
Exactly. And actually, there's some really good biological controls which are generally microscopic wasps, but there's lots of other ways you can control as well. Have a look on andermattbiogarten.ch. Excellent, excellent organic website with alternative biological controls, and they're very easy to apply.
Okay, so that's it. Look on the leaves if you think you might have red spider mites. What happens on the stems if you've got scale insects?
Weird yuck spots it looks like someone's put a sticker on it. And they can be grey or brown, or you can even get sort of slightly woolly ones as well. And basically, when they're young, they can migrate around the plant. But when they get to the adult stage, they basically stick themselves and basically put their horrible little mouths into the plant and then build themselves a kind of capsule around it.
I've got some really good areas in my house, which I know that are the different plants tend to survive quite well because it's got a good sort of light.
Yeah, perfect.
Area. It's well lit, essentially, but not right by a draft, for example. Now, it's really tempting when you get a new plant to just bring it straight in and put it right in there in those areas where you know that a lot of your plants do well, right next to all of your existing plants. Yeah, however, quarantining.
Quarantining is a really good idea. I would certainly, I mean, if it's come from a respectable place like Shilliger, it's probably fine. You can just stick it right in there. It's come from someone else. It's someone else's house. It's come secondhand. You know, somebody's given it to you. I'd be a little, but, you know, beware wooden horses, I'd say, because you really don't want to find it's full of people about to come and invade.
Mites, yeah.
Exactly. Because it could well be.
Yeah.
And it could be that the mites were under control in that person's house because of the, you know, the environment. Like it was a bit drier, it was a bit wetter or whatever.
Yeah.
Comes into your house, woohoo, pate, time to multiply. And they will. Absolutely multiple. So just get a couple of weeks. And also plants often sulk when they move because they were kind of on a luxury holiday in their previous existence, which is why the person's given it to you, unless it's because this plant's dying, I don't know what to do with it, I'm leaving, goodbye, which you do also get. It could well be that they're just having a moment when they first move and they need a little bit of a chat and to explain that they're in their new house, and they'll get used to it. They just need a bit of time.
So a couple of weeks is generally a good quarantine.
It's a really, really good amount of time because there's very few pests that have a life cycle that's significantly more than that.
Wonderful. Great tips. If you've got any questions for Hester, send them in now, 939 on the text. Start your message off with WRS or email studio@worldradio.ch. That's exactly how you could get into a competition as well for a 50-franc voucher for a pot plant or two of your choice. Essentially, you could just spend it in the houseplant section so that you can top up your collection of pot plants. I love doing this because sometimes we give away things for people that, I don't know, like tools where people will need gardens to use them.
Fabulous.
Everyone can grab and enjoy this great prize.
Absolutely.
A couple of pot plants. Treat yourself. Let us know what you would like to pick up from Shilliger Garden Centre to get into the draw for just that, a 50-franc voucher for a new pot plant at Shilliger.
Shilliger. Let your inspiration grow.
We're looking at pot plants this morning and some of the issues that you might have with your pot plants. We've got some of your questions. Hester, are you ready?
I'm ready.
All right, here we go. So, first of all, question from Paula, who said, I was given a beautiful bowl of poinsettias for Christmas by a student, and I'd like to keep them going for next year. Is it possible, or is it a one and done kind of thing?
Well, it's interesting because actually poinsettias are frequently sold as kind of like buy and throw away plants. Mm-hmm. And actually they're not as difficult as you might think to look after them. They're desert plants, so they like to be kept sort of on the dry side. They like it fairly warm, very happy outside in this environment in the summer as well. They don't like drafts and they don't like open fires. And they're happy in the winter and kind of south facing windows. They don't like hard water very much on the whole, and we tend to live in a region with hard waters. The way you can do that is either pour, you know, a jug full of water and let it sit, mm-hmm. or you can boil it, and obviously the water, the boiling off, traps the calcium. Or you can use rainwater.
I'm not happy
with rainwater. That all said, the tricky bit is trying to force them to make those beautiful red, pink, white, whatever colour bracts, the things that look like flowers, those bright coloured sort of leafy things, which are actually bracts. They're on the outsides of the flowers that tiny blobs in the middle, those are the flowers. That's the tricky bit, because actually, particularly in this environment where we've got very low light levels and we have short days in this latitude, you need to be giving it 12 hours of light and 12 hours of dark every day from about kind of November, and you should then be able to force it to. If not, don't worry, it'll make little teeny tiny ones, but much paler in colour and smaller.
Okay, so it is possible to keep it alive. It's going to be a tricky one.
Yeah, just treat it like
colourful.
A sort of desert plant, like a pseudo cactus almost.
I got another question from Seb, who said, a neighbour has left Switzerland and has given me a massive box of moth orchids. Mm. Some of them are perfect, but there are a few with black marks on the leaves. Uh-oh, what should I do?
Yeah, I'd say separate them out from the healthy ones now. Okay. Really, 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 really quickly.
Pests, isn't it?
Well, it could be pests, it could be a disease. And don't, because most people soak their orchids in water, you basically fill the sink with water, pour the water on top and let them sit for, you know, 10 minutes or so, then lift them out. Don't share water, because if it's a fungal problem, the water droplets, the fungus will jump into the water droplets and you'll just be spreading it. So I'd say check the roots for any signs of rot. Take off any leaves with any marks on as well. It's probably a bacterial problem and the treatment can be really brutal. If the spots are only on the leaves, you've got a chance to save the plant and lich. But if it's on the crown, bin.
Gone. Which bit is the crown on an orchid?
It's the bit at the bottom. It's where all the bits come from. Basically, if it's on the stem and the bit at the bottom.
With the big leaves?
Yeah, the bit at the bottom. Yeah, it's gone. It's gone. You can try just dusting it with cinnamon, which is extraordinary. Or you can literally, I take a leaf to Shilliger. If you live in the region, take a leaf to Shilliger and say, this is the problem, and they will say it's bacterial or it's fungal, and they will give you a product to treat it with.
Take it in a bag. Don't rub it on any other plants.
Yeah. Take it in a Ziploc bag.
Vera has said, we have a huge fig plant, but we have to hold it up with sticks and string. Here's a picture. Are they supposed to grow like this?
Well, I'd say, well done. Very happy plant. Very, very, very happy plant, given that's all it is. I have to say figs, particularly fiddle leaf figs, can get really big. They can get really top heavy if they're happy. And they often lean as well towards the light. And you're supposed to rotate them. But what happens is by the time you've noticed it's really leaning, when you then rotate it, it's then just leaning against a wall. It's non-ideal. So you may decide it's time to prune it. So I'd say wait until about Easter when the light levels are up a bit, and it can then promptly regrow in a better, more balanced fashion. So you need sharp scissors or some really good secateurs, because actually they can be quite woody and quite tough. And have a really good look at the plant before you start snipping, which is always a good advice. If before you start pruning anything, just start with the end in mind. Are you trying to make a bush shape? Are you trying to make a tree shape? Are you just trying to make it fit back into your sitting room? Mm. What is the objective here? And try not to shock the plant too much. I'd say between 10 and 30% is really enough. And water it and feed it.
Quick question here. What should you wash your scissors or secateurs with between plants, if anything?
Soapy water is ideal.
Yep.
But honestly, you can use kind of any bacteria, antibacterial type thing as well.
Like a household cleaner, you know, is okay?
But soap's absolutely fine. And then just dry it so that you don't transfer any diseases between plants or between diseased parts of plants and a healthy part of the plant.
We'll be looking at various different resources that you could use to be inspired for different pot plants, but also that will help you with any potential issues that you may have with them. That's coming up.
Dig It, sponsored by Shillega Garden Centre in Glan and Plan-les-Ouates.
It is indeed Dig It. Hester's here, and we've got some more of your questions. And we're also hearing what plants you would like to pick up if you won our voucher, a 50 franc voucher for Shillega Garden Centre for pot plants of your choice, up to the value of 50 francs. We've got Isabel who said, I'd love a nice African violet, as I think the one I had caught cold on the veranda. Hester, likely.
Yeah, they do. They really don't like being cold.
We've also got Sarah who says, I'd like a peace lily for the new year. Is that a very new year thing? I've got
peace.
Peace lily.
It's a good wish for the year.
I guess
I think.
So.
I'd agree.
Erica wants a jasmine. We've got a question that's come in from Caroline who said, I had a Calathea indoor plant. You and me, Caroline. You and me both. I had, past tense, a Calathea indoor plant. It's beautiful with broad leaves in different colours on the front and back and brown stems, but it did not survive. Any advice would be appreciated. Mine too. I had a beautiful plant. I had it for 2 years. It was really happy for a whole 2 years, or it seemed to be anyway. And then it just seemed that one day...
Just turned its toes up and that was it.
Just decided that it would only have three surviving leaves and all of the rest was
and
just
no,
going to give up
no
the ghost.
No sign, no pests, no, no. indication, no, no nothing.
No.
It was clearly the bad fairy of plants. The bad house
thank
plant
you.
Fairy.
I agree. I have not beaten myself up about it. I've just removed it from view, to be
yeah,
very honest.
I would just ditch it. Sometimes you just have to, you know, just put it in the compost and move on.
But Caroline's asking what advice. I think these are fussy plants.
They are quite fussy plants. They're quite fiddly plants. They don't like changes in temperature. They get a bit fussy about water as well. They can get mineral buildup in the soil, particularly if you only water them from the bottom, which is what I generally do with most of my plants to avoid splashing the leaves, because you don't get that flushing through. It could be lots of things. They can suddenly decide I don't have enough food and that's it as well.
Yeah, it's quick, isn't
yeah, it
it's not
fast.
An
it's not a creeping wasting disease by any stretch of the imagination. Yeah, it can be lots of things. I mean, if it's start, and what's the problem is, unless you're looking at them a lot, and a lot of it's to do with paying attention, almost everything is to do with paying attention. Pay attention to plants, spend time with them, get to know them, because they can tell you quite quickly if they're not happy. And it's if you only look at it, you know, once every 2 weeks, which is generally, that's how often I water majority of my plants in the winter. It can be a 2 week gap by which stage I've come back to look at it and gone, oh, that's not looking great. And by which stage it's a bit late.
Yeah, indeed. I see that we've got a rather nice resource for looking at what potential issues might be, like Caroline's question about this Calathea. You have a great big book in your hand.
I do. Now, I have to say, this is a cracker of a book. It's beautiful. It's very nice in the hand. The photography's really modern. The layout's really straightforward. It's called The Plant Rescuer, The Book Your Houseplants Want You to Read by Sarah Gerard Jones. It's published by Bloomsbury. Now, we recommended this as a Christmas gift, and I bought it myself as a Christmas gift to myself, inspired by our show, having had a little sneaky look at it online. It is so fantastic. It gives suggested plants for each levels of light, explains exactly what bright light, moderate light, low light levels are. It gives you some really very straightforward suggestions about how to find out what might be wrong with your plant, to diagnose it, become your own houseplant doctor, which is excellent, and gives some really good basics about this is the sort of soil, this is the sort of water. If you're going to change the light levels, you need to change the water levels. It's super accessible and it's very straightforward. I'd say treat yourself.
What I like looking over what's in front of you is, oh, here we go, Hester's passing it over to me. Not only have we got some very sexy design photography on there, and it looks very nice, bold colours and backgrounds.
It's great, it's very modern.
But I'm enjoying the flowcharts.
Yeah, they're brilliant.
That are like, has it got water?
Yeah.
Yes.
No.
Has it got little spots on it?
Yes. No.
It's really nice that it takes you through just... step by step.
Yeah, it's, and the photography's really clear as well. So if you're saying, oh, what's the matter with this? She'll have to show you a really clear photo and go, this is what this looks like.
I don't know what plant we've got here, but for example, this one on the flowchart, mushy translucent or yellow leaves, yes. No.
Blech.
Or dry shriveled crispy leaves, mostly at the bottom. You know, it is relevant for each particular plant.
Yeah.
Have you been using tap water? This is for another one. Yes. No.
Yeah.
It's really
brilliant.
Good.
It's absolutely brilliant.
What's that called again?
It's The Plants Rescue. It's by Sarah Gerard Jones. It's published by Bloomsbury. It's an absolute cracker. I love it. If you know somebody who likes them, likes plants, or you want to get into growing houseplants yourself and you want to equip yourself with a bit of good, sensible, accessible knowledge, this is the book for you.
I can't wait to see that one next time with all of the little kind of post-it notes where it's plants that you have, because I think that's probably the best way to go through and do it. And maybe even label, this one's in the kitchen, this one's in the downstairs loo. Like, you go through and mark exactly what you've got so you can just flip to it.
And you just like it because there's a Monstera on the front page.
I do like a Monstera, yeah. I like it a lot. Hester, thanks so much for joining us and talking to us about pot plants. I'm going to leave the competition open for another 15 minutes until 10 o'clock. So you've still got 15 minutes to tell us what pot plant you would like to pick up from Shilliger Garden Centre. I've got a 50 franc voucher for their pot plant selection to give away today. So just tell me what you would like to buy with that 50 franc voucher and you'll go into the draw for just that. 939 on the text. Start your message off with WRS or email studio@worldradio.ch. Thanks, Hester.
Thank you.
Shilliger, let your inspiration grow.